The Winter Oak by Yuri Nikibin. Part 2. Read by Kevin Archer. The path along which Savushkin led Anna Vasilievna began just behind the school building. As soon as they stepped into the forest, and the fir branches that looked like paws heavily laden with snow closed behind them, they were immediately transported into another world, an enchanted world of peace and silence. Magpies and crows flew from tree to tree, shaking the branches, knocking off the fir cones, and sometimes their wings caught on the dry brittle twigs and broke them. Yet not a sound could be heard. All around everything was white. Only high up the wind had blown on the tops of the soaring, weeping birches, so that they showed up black, and their delicate little branches looked as if they had been etched in Indian ink on the blue surface of the sky. The path ran by the stream, sometimes alongside it, submissively following its twisting course, sometimes rising high up and winding along a steep bank. Now and again the trees would part and reveal sunny, joyful glades, crisscrossed with hare tracks that looked like watch chains. There would also be heavier tracks shaped like a trefoil, and they must have been made by a larger beast. These tracks ran right into the thicket, in among tree trunks that had fallen to the wind.
"An elk has been here,"
said Savushkin, as if talking about a close friend, when he saw that Anna Vasilievna was interested in the tracks.
"But don't be afraid,"
he added in response to the glance the schoolmistress threw towards the depths of the forest.
"The deer is gentle."
"Have you seen one?" asked Anna Vasilievna excitedly.
"No," Savushkin sighed. "I haven't actually seen one, not alive. But I've seen his pellets."
"Pellets?"
"Droppings,"
Savushkin explained shyly. Slipping under an archway of bent branches, the path again ran down to the stream. In some places the stream was covered with a thick white blanket of snow, while in others it was imprisoned in an armour of clear ice, and sometimes living water would gleam through the ice, looking like a dark, malevolent eye.
"Why is it not all frozen up?" asked Anna Vasilievna. "There's a warm spring which rises up in it. Look, see that little jet?"
Bending over an unfrozen patch in the middle of the ice, Anna Vasilievna could see a thin little thread rising up from the bottom. By the time it reached the surface, it had broken into tiny bubbles. This minute stem with the little bubbles on it looked like a spray of lily of the valley.
"There are loads of springs like that here," said Savushkin enthusiastically. "The stream is alive even under the snow."
He brushed away the snow, and they saw the coal-black but transparent water. Anna Vasilievna noticed that when the snow fell into the water, it didn't melt away, but immediately turned into slush, a greenish jelly suspended in the water as if it were algae. She was so pleased with this that she began to kick snow into the water with the toe of her boot, and was enraptured when a particularly intricate figure emerged from a large lump of snow. She was so enthralled that she did not at once notice that Savushkin had gone on and was waiting for her, sitting high up in the fork of a bough overhanging the stream. Anna Vasilievna caught him up. Here the action of the warm springs came to an end, and the stream was covered with a thin film of ice. Light shadows darted rapidly over the marble surface.
"Look, the ice is so thin that we can even see the current."
"No, Anna Vasilievna, I'm swaying this branch, and that's its shadow moving."
Anna Vasilievna bit her tongue. Clearly here in the forest, she'd better keep quiet. Savushkin strode on again in front of the schoolmistress, bending down slightly and looking around him. And the forest led them on farther along its intricate, tangled paths. It seemed as if there were no end to the trees, the snowdrifts, and the silence of the sun-dappled twilight. Suddenly, in the distance, a smoky blue chink appeared. The trees began to thin out. There was more space, and it was fresher. Soon there was no longer a chink, but a broad shaft of sunlight appeared before them, and in it something glistened and sparkled, swarming with frosty stars. The path went round a hazel bush,
and straightway the forest fell away on either side. In the middle of the glade, clothed in glittering white raiment, huge and majestic as a cathedral, stood an oak. It seemed as if the trees had respectfully stood aside to give their older brother room to display himself in all his strength. The lower branches spread out over the glade like a canopy. Snow was packed into the deep corrugations of the bark, and the trunk, three times the normal girth, seemed to be embroidered with silver thread. Few of the leaves that had withered in the autumn had fallen, and the oak was covered right up to the top with leaves encased in snow.
"There it is! The winter oak!"
Anna Vasilievna approached the oak timidly, and the mighty magnanimous guardian of the forest quietly waved a branch in greeting to her. Savushkin had no idea what was going on in the schoolmistress's heart, and he busied himself at the foot of the oak, as if approaching an old acquaintance. A number of lodgers, beetles, lizards, and small insects, had taken refuge at the foot of the oak. Some had buried themselves under the roots, others had wriggled into crevices in the bark. Emaciated, practically hollow inside, they were surviving the winter in a sleep from which they could not be woken. The mighty tree, laden with life, had gathered so much living warmth round itself that the poor creatures could not have found a better lodging. Anna Vasilievna was gazing with delighted interest at this secret forest life, hitherto unknown to her, when she heard Savushkin exclaim in concern,
"Oh, we'll miss Mother now!"
Anna Vasilievna hurriedly looked at her watch. It was 3:15. She felt as if she had walked into a trap. Privately asking the oak to forgive her for being human and slightly cunning, she said,
"Well, Savushkin, this just shows that the shortcut is not always the surest. You'll have to go by the road."
Savushkin didn't say anything. He just hung his head.
"Heavens," thought Anna Vasilievna painfully, "could one have shown one's incompetence more clearly?"
She remembered the lesson that day, and all her other lessons, how inadequately, dryly and coldly she had spoken of words and language without which man is dumb and powerless to express his feelings before the world, when all the time her own native tongue was as fresh, beautiful and rich as life is generous and beautiful. And she had considered herself an able teacher. Quite possibly she had not yet taken the first step along that road which takes more than a whole life to traverse. And how can one find that road? Perhaps the first signpost was dimly visible in the delight, incomprehensible to her at the time, with which the children shouted out, "Tractor! Well! Starling House!"
"Well, Savushkin, thank you for the walk. Of course you can come this way."
"Thank you, Anna Vasilievna."
Savushkin blushed. He very much wanted to say to the schoolmistress that he'd never be late again, but he was afraid of telling a lie. He turned up the collar of his jacket and pulled down his cap with the ear flaps.
"I'll see you home."
You needn't, Savushkin. I'll go by myself."
He looked at the schoolmistress doubtfully, and then he picked up a stick from the ground, broke off its crooked end, and gave the stick to Anna Vasilievna.
"If the elk comes near you, hit him on the back, and he'll run away. Or better still, just wave the stick at him, and that'll be enough. Otherwise he might take offence and leave the forest altogether."
"All right, Savushkin, I won't hit him."
When she'd gone a little way, Anna Vasilievna turned round to have a last look at the oak, rosy white in the setting sun, and at its foot she saw a small dark figure. Savushkin had not gone home. He was guarding his teacher from afar. And suddenly Anna Vasilievna understood that the most amazing thing in the forest was not the winter oak, but the small human being in the worn felt boots, a mysterious and wonderful future citizen. She waved to him and quietly went off along the twisting path. ¶¶